Last time I was here, we took a little look at Job, a very familiar story to all of us. And I had a message that was really from the heart as we lost my brother. And we took a look at Job's words and what Job had said. But it's a very familiar story that Job lost everything, his children, his finances, his possessions, and he had no idea why. Satan, the prosecutor, had come to God and said, if you take everything away from Job, then he won't worship you. He'll turn on you. And God said to Satan, you can take everything away. Don't take his life. And Job stood firm. And then Satan came back and said, if you give him ill health, he'll turn on you. And God allowed Satan to go ahead and do that. So, as I was discussing this with someone a few weeks ago, they said, who was on trial in this story? And I said, it depends upon your perspective. For God, Satan, the prosecutor, was on trial. Ultimately, Job's faithfulness was a testimony to God's power and God's righteousness. So Satan was on trial. For Satan, it was Job. Job was on trial. For Satan was bound and determined to show that he could turn Job against God. For Job, not knowing what was going on, God was on trial. His character, God's character, was ultimately on trial for Job. So who was on trial depended upon your perspective. If we transfer over to today, what's on trial? Day in, day out, all the noise that we see on the news, what's on trial? What do we see played out amongst people and conversations and on the news? What's on trial? Truth. Ultimately, truth is what's on trial. I showed up at another church this week on a day that we do IT support for the church, and I showed up on a day I don't normally show up, and I ran into a very old friend of mine, the retired executive pastor, who I've been very close to for many, many, many years. And I knocked on his door because I could see his light was on, and we gave each other a hug, and we sat down and we talked for about 40 minutes until I finally said, I got to go work. I'm sorry, I could do this all day long. But we caught up on each other's personal lives, and then as we always do, we got on some theological subject and argued and cussed and discussed a theological concept. We're from two really competing different theologies when you would think about denominations. They're charismatic, and I'm not at heart a charismatic, but great people, love them to death, and it was a wonderful conversation. And during the conversation, he said, say, there's a book that I want you to read. And I ordered it yesterday off Amazon. It's strange new world. And it traces all the way back to post-war theories of the forces that have been at work in the world to bring us to where we are today, to actually question truth. It's gotten to be ridiculous. I saw a clip on social media, true clip. Policeman pulls over a woman for driving in the HOV lane. And it was her and her dog in the passenger seat. And she said, "But I wouldn't drive by myself. I've got my best friend here." And the policeman said, "Well, that's great, but it's a dog." And the law said there have to be two humans in the car to drive in the HOV lane. And very seriously, she said, "But he isn't a dog. He identifies as a human." Perfectly serious. And they argued about that. And the policeman, to his credit, said, "Okay, well, I won't give you a ticket for driving the HOV lane, but your human friend has to have a seatbelt on, so I'm ticketing the both of you for not having a seatbelt." Now, we laugh about it, and it is laughable, but people have lost their minds. A young girl was in a fencing competition. And remember, she's trained all her life to be really good in high school or college at a sport. And she's in the finals in a fencing competition. And here she comes against an opponent that's a foot taller and a biological male. And she said to the referee, "This is a woman's competition. He's a male. No." And they disqualified her. It's gotten to be insanity. This issue is a 90-10 issue. If you look at polling across the United States, 90% of the people, maybe 95, think this is a ridiculous conversation to even have. Women have been seriously injured competing against biological males. But the left, weird, woke groups feel like this is a hill to die on, to stand behind this crazy transgender nonsense. How did we as a society, and I'm not only talking about America, I'm talking about the whole Western world, and by the way, this is not a problem in the Middle East. This is not a problem in Muslim countries. This is not a problem in Russia. This is a problem in our woke, Western, postmodern societies. This transgender nonsense that you can identify as anything that you want. We have a friend whose grandchildren go to school in northern Dallas regions. And they're afraid to go to the restroom during the day at school, the girls, because of males. And people who identify as animals.
Yeah.
Cats. And the parents put up with this nonsense. This is madness. We've gone beyond truth to sheer madness. You have a journalist who just went around, made a movie asking people, what is a woman? And people refuse to admit the scientific, biological fact of what is a male and what is a female. Look at Romans 1. And I know we've been here before, but it's worth repeating because you see it played out every night on the news. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to them, but became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. So what happens? Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged their natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. This is played out every day and every night on the news. And why the woke left feels like they have to push this issue on the American people day after day, when polls all over show that everybody knows this is nonsense, it's beyond me. But we are led and have been led by people with such debased minds. They feel like they have to continue to do this. And mostly in the media and in Hollywood. Our media is all behind it. And Hollywood's all behind it.
And why are they behind it?
Because they practice it. And they're being led by Father, their father, Satan.
And it's money.
And it's money. We have had good versus evil for quite some time, and we've seen the world descend into madness, and now we have new leadership in the United States, and we seem to have turned against this. But the problem is that we have a pulpit across America that's bought into the same nonsense. At one time, you could go through the city of Dallas or anywhere in the South, and really anywhere in the country, you just had to look harder, with really good biblical teaching all over. Some were more accurate than others, and you could pick a fight with anybody theologically, but that's always been true. But by and large, there was good, sound, biblical teaching in the pulpit every Sunday available all across the United States. That's no longer true. The stuff you hear out of so-called pastors and preachers is beyond belief. I've looked at some of this stuff on social media because I kind of tend to follow it. And I guess since I listen to a lot of John MacArthur and some of the others, I'll get a lot of these clips. But some of them I'm appalled by. It used to be that it was bad teaching and errors in interpretation, which is a word that just frustrates me, because we've taught people that the Bible can be interpreted any way you want it. I have friends that say, well, that's just the way you interpret it. No, that's what it says. Plain text reading. Well, so-and-so interprets it. Systematic theology, and that is looking at the Bible as a whole and the message of God to man. I drove by a country church the other day, and out front they had one of those signs, their saying of the week. And it was, sin bad, God good, details inside. And I thought, man, they've got it down. You could put that on the front of your Bible. Sin bad, God good, details inside. But I heard a pastor of a large church the other day rebuke Jesus for his teachings. I didn't listen to all of it because I was afraid he was going to get struck by lightning. It was so arrogant. I couldn't believe it. And I passed another clip on to a couple of friends of mine from somebody who was saying that we just can't teach any longer that Jesus is the only way to heaven, because that's going to be offensive to unbelievers and our Muslim friends, and that's just going to work against all of our efforts to become ecumenical and tolerant. And this is from the pulpit. And the wokeness in the pulpit accepting this transgender ideology and the acceptance of the LGBTQ IA plus or whatever it is this week is shocking. It's shocking. The truth is now relative. The truth is anything you think it can be. The truth has been lost. And in our postmodern society, we worship the experiences here on earth today rather than looking for a future home with God, which is lost in the noise. That future home with God for all of eternity is lost except in a very few and small groups. And I wonder, you know, people talk about a great revival. And I will say that studies are showing that young men are returning to the church in droves. Not young women, but young men, which is extremely encouraging. But who's going to teach them? Because there is such an amount of error in the pulpit today. Gone are the days of the Charles Stanley, John MacArthur's, W.A. Criswell's, and what. Our seminaries have become woke and weak in what they're teaching. Who's going to lead these great revivals? Where are the Billy Grahams? Where are the Criswells? Where are the people preaching fire from the pulpit? And you see pastors that are all excited about this new wave of political conservatism and showing up in Washington and being all of excited. And that's what their sermons are about. Not about salvation, not about the Word. When we stop teaching the Word, when we stop teaching the truth, the people in the sanctuaries are blown by every new idea because they're no longer grounded in the Word. The children don't grow up grounded in the Word. Gone are the days when the Sunday school lessons open the Bible and they teach about Noah and the flood and Abraham and Isaac and all these other great Bible stories. They're no longer grounded. They're taught relational woke nonsense. And you have a people wondering what is truth. This is truth. This is the Word of God. It is truth. And it's what we must measure everything by. Is truth. And once we stray away and say, well, creation was really evolution, but no, it's truth. Genesis 1, 2, 3 describe where we came from and what the problem is. It's truth. And we can't water it down. We can't pick through it. It's truth. And who's going to teach truth to the future generations? Bringing this around to Easter, look at another trial. Jesus is taken to Pontius Pilate. John 18, verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered and said, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have you delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And Pilate said to him, "So you're a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose," this is Jesus' mouth, "for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" What is Jesus referring to? "I came to bear witness to the truth, to this, to the law, to the prophets." He said earlier in his ministry, "I came to fulfill the law." Here he's saying, "I came to bear witness to the truth. This is the truth." Jesus saved his harshest criticism for whom? The religious leaders of the day. For they should have known the truth. For they had the law and the prophets, which they had distorted for their own personal gain. The religious leaders of today should be called on the carpet because they're not preaching the truth. This plain, simple truth. There are some. There are some great ones, but they are getting to be fewer and fewer. And the amount of error, the amount of untruth, is pretty amazing. Paul said to a group, "I wish for you to be like the Bereans, who take everything I say and search diligently in the scriptures," which would have been the Old Testament in that day, "to see whether or not what I, Paul, am saying is true." You need to be grounded in the truth. You are from a generation that grew up in a church that spoke generally truth. From the most liberal to the most conservative pastors during the day, whom we grew up with, pretty much you learn truth. You learn the Bible. Y'all are very well taught. But our children are not well taught. And it's interesting that when somebody comes along and starts just teaching the truth, people flock to the conversation. People flock to their ministries. Until it hits a point where it starts ruffling feathers. And people want to calm them down. A very, very good friend of mine, one of his sons is a pastor, and he started a church. And it grew and grew. And then he's a tough, conservative, hardline preacher. And they threw him out because he wouldn't accept the woke nonsense of today. They felt like that was getting in the way of their growth. And they threw him out of the church that he had started. This was predicted in the end times, that pastors would be lifted up, that would tickle people's ears with things they wanted to hear. What I'm saying is, in this death of truth, in all the noise that we hear every day, it's deafening between social media and the 24/7 news that we see and tend to watch. Don't forget truth. Truth. I just read a portion of Romans 1. And it could be a commentary on what we hear on the news every single night. Straight out of the Bible. Don't forget the truth. With all the noise going on. And don't be upset by all the craziness, because God is in control in bringing this all to a culmination and an end for His good, His glory. It was all predicted. We're just living in some of the wildest, craziest, most interesting times that were predicted here in the Bible at the end of the age. And again, somebody asked me, how close are we? And I'll say what I said 7 years ago to this very group, and that is, I don't know, but the longer we wait, the weirder it's going to get. And people then said, 7 years ago, it can't get any weirder. Well, guess what? It has. And it's going to continue that way. But in that process, don't forget the truth. And that is, this is still relevant, and it is the truth. The truth was under attack in Jesus' day, because Jesus came bearing witness to the truth. And the arrogant religious leaders of the day had him put to death because of it. Times haven't changed that much. That was what was going on in the days of Jesus. And it's what's going on today. They just didn't have iPhones, iPads, and 100-inch TVs. And 24/7 news to watch it all happen. As you watch the news and get concerned and get upset, don't forget who's in control. God is in control. And don't forget to be grounded in the truth. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we know the truth because you gave it to us. And the Holy Spirit that lives within us testifies to the truth when we hear all of this nonsense played out in the news every day. And we look forward to you bringing this all to a close and taking us to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.